Good morning, good morning, good morning. We thank God for another day's journey. I'm Pastor Landis Fisher of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church and Straight Gate Ministries. Amen. We welcome you to our live broadcast, and we're glad you have decided to join us today. And wonderful times that we're going through, difficult times in a lot of ways, but yet it is a blessing. God has always been in the blessing business. No matter what kinds of things come against us, God has been a fortress and a shield to those who trust Him. Amen. So we want to welcome you to the study today. Amen. To this worship service. You can go ahead and shout right where you are. You can lift up your hands, give glory to God, sing a little praise, whatever you like to do this morning, for this is a day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We do have a good word from the Lord today. And before we do that, we're going to go before the throne as it is our custom and offer up a word of prayer. I want to ask you to pray with me right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise your name this morning. Father, we exalt you today. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. Father, we thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. And Father, we give glory and honor and praise to your name because you are excellent and you are worthy to be praised. Father, we praise you, you know, with all that is within us. We praise your holy name. Father, we want to thank you for letting us lay down last night and get back up this morning. Father, we were clothed and in our right minds. And so, Father, we just give you praise right now. We just want to thank you for everything you did. We thank you for food on our table, clothes on our backs. Lord God, and we just give you all the honor and the glory, Father. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Father, we bless your name and we give you praise. We want to ask forgiveness of sin right now, God. Forgive us of the transgressions that we have done and those things we did, some of which even without knowledge, with no knowledge. But Father, we want to ask for mercy right now, God, and forgiveness. We know your mercy is new every day. And so we don't mind asking you for another measure of mercy today, Lord God, but we also want to ask you for more wisdom and teach us, oh God, the fear of the Lord that we might not sin against you. Lord God, we ask a blessing on all the homes and families, everybody's family that's listening to the broadcast right now. We all have individual needs, but Father, we thank you that you are everywhere all at the same time, and you know everything going on in every home and in every heart, Lord God, so we submit ourselves to you and we ask you to nurture us, oh God, feed us, teach us, and forgive us, Lord God, and so that we can give all the glory and the praise to you and to your Son, Jesus, your risen Son, that you raised out of the grave to show us that you have authority and power even over death. So, Father, we ask a blessing on the lesson today. We ask you to bless those who are bereaved and look over those families that are going through changes right now, Lord God, with all the things going on in the world. Father, we ask the provisions be made for those who are struggling, Lord God, and we ask you to use us and guide us that we might help and do something to help somebody else, Lord God. We give you all the praise and the glory, and it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all the saints say it together, amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Hallelujah. We thank him for another day's journey. Amen. We do have a good topic, and as we mention all the time at the top of the lesson, that you can find our notes online at teachingbible.org. That's TACHINGBIBLE.org. And they're there all the time, 24/7. This live broadcast will be posted there after the fact. And right now, we just thank you that you're here with us live. Amen. And it is a blessing to come to you in this way. So we're going to go ahead. We do have a topic that I want to discuss and bring before you today that I believe will bless your soul. Amen, because I blessed my soul in preparation to get it together for the teaching today. And I want to talk with you because this is a thing that the church is to be involved in all of time. Jesus dispatched his disciples back when he had gotten up out of the grave. Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And he told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," specifying what we call the Great Commission. He commissioned his disciples to go and teach. So that's a wonderful thing, and sometimes I think we get wrapped up in the drama of everything going on in the world and even difficulties in our own personal lives and all of that, and we forget about the fact that we're supposed to be being taught. Even the church, I think, sometimes takes up issues and things, so much political stuff and different kinds of things infect the church and get the church off that course, that general course that Jesus has called us to do, which is to go and teach. Very simple. We put it in just those two terms, go and teach. And nobody is off the record. Everybody is involved. God says teach all the nations. And so that means there's no prejudice, no discrimination of any sort. We are all to teach all the nations. Truth is, every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to be taught. We don't know everything. We come here with a lack of knowledge. Some of the psychologists, if you will, of modern times say you come with a blank slate. That's the kind of language they use. I took psychology when I was in college, and I'm glad God called me into preaching. Amen, because I'm getting the truth down, not just the speculations of men. But the fact is, there is some measure of truth in that as well. Yes, we do come with a blank slate, but it's not the blank slate that's the problem. The problem is the human nature being twisted and not perfectly right. And it's not that we don't do anything right. It's just that we don't do everything right. And so we have to learn. And so this is why this is a cataclysmic verse. I'm going to just start to get our thoughts rolling. Every one needs to be saved. There's no one who is born saved. You don't come in the world saved. Just because my mother was saved does not mean I am saved. Just because grandma was saved doesn't mean I'm saved. Just because my daddy was saved does not mean I am saved. Just because our family have always been Christians, that does not mean I am saved. So you have to learn what it means to be saved. And there's two groups of people, and you know, y'all who listen to me all the time, you know, I always like to talk about the two families. There are only two, either you're saved or you're lost. That's it. There's nothing else. Now, the devil is filled with confusion. He wants to fill your life with hogwash. He wants to fill the world with religions and philosophies and all of that just to tangle you up and get you past the fact that there's only two families. Either you trust Christ Jesus or you don't. Very simple. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 12, verse 30. He said, "He who is not with me is against me." That makes it two families. Either you're with him or you're against him. You believe him or you don't believe him. So, very simple. But now the devil may tell you a thousand ways not to believe him and to believe something else. But Jesus says there are really only two. Either you're with me or you're against me. I've even had people say, "Oh, preacher, I'm on the fence. I haven't made up my mind." Well, you're against him because you got to be with him in order not to be against him. See, so if you don't trust Christ with all your heart, the scripture says you are against him. And that's the simple fact. And it's that clear. God keeps things black and white clear. And he doesn't want you to be confused. He's not the author of confusion, but he is the author of peace. You see that? And he will give you peace when you get on the right track. But he knows and understands the fact that we come with an empty mind and we have to learn everything. We don't come here knowing anything. You may have some bent toward a particular gift, and God does gift all kinds of people, and he does that without any discrimination either. You know, there's a lot of gifted people who don't believe Christ. Millions of them everywhere. You know, God gives his gifts out graciously and freely, but he does not force us to come into a relationship with him. That's up to your own free choice, because free will is actually the very impetus or the drive of true love. You cannot have true love without free will. It must be that I want to do this. I must say in my heart that I will do this. I do believe this. I do want the Lord to guide me and lead me. I do want a relationship with God. I do trust him and fear him. And you have to choose that. See? And if it's not by choice, it's not real. That's the whole truth. And so the fact is, all of us come, no knowledge. We need to learn. We need to be taught. And sometimes we're taught not the right thing. And God gives us grace all through that time. Even though we're not saved, you still can be under God's grace even without being saved. Everybody who draws a breath in their lungs is under God's grace. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all miss the mark. So if he keeps on letting me go, even though I have not confessed and prescribed a relationship with him, like I want to be your child, I want to receive you into my life, I want you to teach me, I want to be your son or your daughter, and I want you to be my father. I realize you gave your son Jesus for me, and you make that conscious decision. That's what really brings you into that relationship with God. And you can be in the world and not have that relationship with God, but God's mercy allows you to continue. You know why? Because he gave his disciples, as I mentioned earlier, the command to go and teach. See, he's given us time, the church, to teach the world that God loves you and he's given his son for you so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So he wants you in his family. He loves you. He's been blessing you the whole time, whether you believed him or accepted the gospel or not. And as we said, that term gospel means good news. God is preaching good news to all the nations. At the same time, his wrath is on store, and it will be rendered whenever he gets around to it. And that time could be soon. And so we want to warn you and let you know God loves you. He's given his son Jesus for you. He's configured the world around Christ, so it should be easy for you to accept him. The whole world time system is based on Jesus, and it's God's desire that you receive Christ as your Savior, but he won't force you to do it. So what I want to talk about, just to get us around to the subject today, is that we need to be transformed. We need to come out of the worldly mindset of doing things the way we necessarily want, particularly, and we'll talk more about that down in here, or the way the world wants us to be, or the way anybody else wants us to be, but we want to be transformed into the way God wants us to be. And that will be the best thing that we could ever do. We want you to be transformed from sinners to winners. See, all of us are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, no matter how we were raised, no matter what we were taught, we come up and we have, it doesn't mean we do everything wrong, but it does mean that we do something wrong. Something makes us come short of God's glory. No matter how we got to where we are, you miss the mark somewhere along the way. Truth is, church, we miss it even when we know God. We sometimes don't do everything right. And so we always need God's mercy. But the fact is, to get into his family, this is what we're talking about. How do you get transformed from being sinners to becoming winners, where you win and you get the victory of everything that God is providing for his children and for his church? You know what? He provides everything for everybody, even those who don't believe in him, those who don't trust him, those who don't rely on him, those who say something else is God, those who give allegiance to something else or someone else other than his son, Jesus, who he has clearly identified to be the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is the Son of the living God, came into the world to bear the sins of all the world so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. God did that, but people reject it, and he gives them the freedom to reject the knowledge of Christ. But the ones who receive the knowledge of Christ, who accept the forgiveness of God, that Jesus shed his blood on the tree in order to save a wretch like me, those who say, I understand that, I believe that with my whole heart and my soul, they get transformed, and they become out of the family of sinners into the family of winners. We are the ones who reap the whole benefits of all the earth and all of time and even into eternity because we win, because Christ has already defeated the devil, the world, and the flesh. And he did that for us. He became the mediator between all who believe in him and God Almighty. So he loves you. That if the problem is not on God's end, the problem's on my end. If I don't trust him, that's not his fault. He's giving you evidence all around you. The whole world is filled with his glory, the Bible says. See? And really it is. I mean, look around. I just marvel off some very small things. They seem small, but they're really miraculous, like a tree or a flower or a bird or anything, a fish. All the things God made have enough science in it to blow your mind if you really think it through. And so what man does a lot of times, and as you know, they give some kind of chance and some accident the credit rather than Almighty God who designed everything and made it with impeccable wisdom that's way off the charts. See, it was by great wisdom that God made the heavens and the earth. And so to say that something else did that or it happened by accident is to ignore the obvious truth that everything is so beautiful, so concise, so perfect. Any one thing you pick up and study that God made, you could study it all your life and write volumes of books on it and never really scratch the surface of how intense that is. People write doctoral thesis right now on an amoeba, which is a one-celled animal, been doing it for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and we don't know everything about an amoeba, a one-celled animal. See what I'm saying? So everything God makes is so miraculous, it's so awesome that you can't really just plumb the depths of it, and that just shows off the superior high wisdom and intelligence of Almighty God. See? And that's the God that loves you just like you are. He's the one that made you. He made the world and everything that's in it, and the heavens and the earth. But he's given us the free will to elect to be his child or not. That's up to you. Although God is the one who motivates us to trust him and to believe in him, he is the one that's written a book, given us his word, why and how he loves us. And the Bible is even the most intense thing I've ever gotten into. And you too, if you get in there and you learn to love it, you will be transformed from sinners to winners. You know, I want to be on the winning team. I like the song that was written, inspired by the scripture that says, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. The term saints doesn't mean somebody who's all pristine and holy in and of themselves. It means someone who is sanctified. They're set apart by God to be a member of his family by God's grace. Nobody is sanctified because they're so righteous. You see, the truth is we're sanctified because God has given his son to cover us for our sin, and he takes us out of the regular stream of life of people who reject him and puts us into the family of those who know him and love him and accept his son, who he's given to be the only mediator between God and men. So we always need to understand, and then think about this. When you come in, you're not instantly snapped into perfect knowledge. You come in however you are. The way you were in that other family when you didn't trust God, you didn't know Jesus, you didn't understand God loved you, he so loved the world he gave his only begotten son for you. When you come into that knowledge, however you are, that's how you are. But God starts with you right there. He takes you right at the spot you are, and he begins to teach you. And that's why the church is a teaching organism, and we were told to go and preach the gospel. That's the good news, that God has settled the debt for our sins once and for all through the death of his own son, and allowed him to be crucified in our place so that he can receive us just like we are. See? But then he will also move into you, take up residence in you, and fill you with his Holy Spirit so that he can transform the way you think about everything. So that's the great challenge of the church, is we get honored with the teaching ministry to teach people who now trust Christ, but some of you may have been doing it a long time, but we still don't know everything. You know what? The more I study his word, the deeper it gets, and the more beautiful it gets. He keeps on opening it up, and I learn more and more. This is one thing I hear from the saints all the time. I rejoice in it. They say, you know, I read that verse, Pastor, 100 times, but today I got something I never understood, came clear to me, and now that's my favorite verse. So people, I see it all the time. You know why? Because the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when I start to take in God's word and he unravels it for me by his spirit, or even through teaching from someone in the church, or even from some member of the church, it doesn't have to be a pastor. We learn from each other when we're in the church. We have fellowship together, and that fellowship produces understanding in our minds, and we grow in our knowledge of God through his word. And so that's what transformation is getting us from the old way we used to think into thinking the way God designed things and the way he wants us to think. And so this is why we need to be discipled. The term disciple is the Greek word mathetes. You don't have to remember that. But it means learners. We are those who are learners. We want to learn about God, learn about his word, learn about his spirit, learn about everything, relearn stuff that we learned wrong coming up from a kid up till now, or wherever you are in your walk in life. But you can always learn God's way. And Jesus put it this way. I'm going to share a verse with you here to get us into the word. Matthew, at least. Let's go Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever, notice this, the Son shall reveal him. When you know Christ, God begins to reveal the Father to you through the teaching of Christ. In the first coming of Christ, God says, gets into your life. Jesus and the Holy Spirit begin to reveal God the Father to you through his word and through his spirit. So that's a special thing. When you trust in Jesus, this kicks in for you. The moment I say I need Jesus the Christ, and I realize God gave him, and there's no other way for anyone to be saved because he's the only mediator between God and men, I get adopted by God into his family. And he begins to teach me. He moves in. His Holy Spirit takes up residence in me. And the purpose of the Spirit is to lead and guide us to all truth. And the truth is his word. So he begins to open his word and teach me and you how to grow in his word. So we understand to see things from God's perspective, not from the perspective of the world. And so then we can actually make judgments between what's right and what's wrong. And so that's why we need God's word. Jesus said the Son is the one who makes that possible. So this is his invitation in verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that rest is a state of peace where I know since I'm in the family of God, I've been adopted through faith in Jesus Christ. I am covered for all of eternity. I will never perish. Doesn't mean I won't die or go in the grave. It just means I won't stay there. I'm going to have the power of the life of God in me from the moment I get into Christ and believe him from that moment forward, and I'll never be the same. He's going to work in my life constantly, teaching me all the time as he would as a parent does their child. And so I don't have to worry. It takes away a lot of fear from my life, regardless of what happens. You know what? The world doesn't change, but my perspective of the world changes, and that's what we call transformation, is being moved from thinking the way you've been thinking the way the news wants you to think, thinking the way the world wants you to think, thinking the way lost people who don't accept God want you to think, into thinking God's way and understanding his mercy, understanding his grace, understanding he loves us and he's keeping us going and he's teaching us along the way. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, this is a tough job living in this world, competing with all these people who think they know so much, but are contrary to what the Most High God has set down as a decree. So we come to him, all that are heavy laden. He says that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So that rest means I don't have to worry about figuring all that out. I know that I'm saved because God has given his son for me. And this is what he wants you to do. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. In other words, a yoke used to be a device where they connect multiple animals together, or maybe one or two, to get the work done before we had machines and things doing work. We would take a yoke, which is like a piece of wood in those days, and it's cut out where it fits around the necks of multiple animals and binds them together so all their force can be used in one direction. But Jesus says, take my yoke up on you. In other words, hook up with me. I'm going to yoke up with you. I'm going to combine my strength with your strength. I'm going to combine my knowledge with your knowledge. I'm going to take you in the direction I'm going instead of in the direction you're going. See that? So he says, when you come to me and you're heavy laden and burdened with the ways of the world and the ways of your old life, hook up with me and I'm going to show you how to do it right. I'm going to take the load off of you. That's what this next part says. He says here, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to lift that heavy burden off your soul and show you how to go through this thing right and give you confidence you never had before, give you the ability to approach goals that you were never able to reach before. See? And so we want to hook up with him and be transformed. Paul said this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, so he gives you a new outlook, a new perspective on life. And so if you've been feeling sad and downtrodden, maybe you've had a bunch of stuff happen in your life, maybe there's stuff going wrong and you don't understand it, maybe you got people who are in situations that you hate, and we all have these. I believe I've talked to so many people being a pastor. People have a lot of issues and troubles and different kinds of things, relationships and all kinds of stuff, job problems and the housing and all kinds of things become a heavy burden in life. He said, hook up with me and let me show you how to fix that mess. Let me show you how to endure going through some of those relationships, toxic relationships, what we like to call them today. Let me help you with that. Let me get you into my mindset and use my power and my authority to deal with your problems and your situations. Not only that, but all the good stuff you're doing. Let me show you how to do it better. Let me show you how to accomplish great things. The fact that I can move stuff out of your way and open up doors that no man can shut. And I can shut doors that no man can open. Just get with me, hook up with me, and accept the gift of my salvation and let me do the work. Let me pull the load and you just come along for the ride. Let me teach you and transform your mind from being sinners to being winners. That's what he wants us to do. And so if you're in his family today, you know about it, because from the moment I got with Christ, my life has been constantly improving. Doesn't mean I haven't had trouble. Doesn't mean there haven't been difficult things for me to endure. And there's still problems. And you know what? Doesn't mean the devil's going to stop bothering you. Doesn't mean your own flesh is not going to stop bothering you and enticing you to fall away. But the good thing is the mercy of God is on you once you get in Christ, and he will teach you and transform you from being sinners to being winners and show you how to walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what it looks like, the darkest time you're going through, Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so this is what we need, and this gives us the confidence to keep on pressing toward the mark. And so Paul put it this way. He says, I forget those things which are behind and look forth unto those which are before, and I press toward the mark for the high upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this is where I want you to see transforming the mind. Romans says in the book of Romans, Paul writes that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, we're not changing bodies. We're not forgetting everything we used to know. But we do kind of set that stuff at a certain place. We forget those things, like Paul said to the Philippians, that are behind. In other words, I'm forgetting that old lifestyle. Doesn't mean I don't remember it. It just means I don't give it the same credence that I do God's word. I don't give it the same priority that I do God's word. I forget that way of thinking, and I press toward thinking the way God wants me to think. You'll find that in the book of Philippians. So think about this now. When God sanctified the Jews, he called them out of the Gentiles to make a people separated for his own possession. He started with the Gentiles, of course, because that's all there were. Called Abraham out of Ur, of the Chaldees. And you read this in Genesis 12. And he told him, get out of your country, come out of your father's house, away from your kindred, and I'll come to a land that I'll show you and I'll bless you and make your name great. So we can see a call to Abraham to come away from sinners and let me make you a winner. And I'm going to bless everybody who blesses you and curse everybody who curses you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he started a succession of people from the barren, fruitless man Abraham, had no children and 75 years old. Seems like a pretty hopeless prospect, doesn't it? 75, no kids, and God calls you, tells you, get out of your country, come away from your inheritance, away from your father's house, come completely from that lifestyle to a new lifestyle. And he said, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. I'm changing everything. You don't need to rely on anything you used to be. So that's what God is telling you today and me. You don't need to rely on anything you used to do or be. You can come with me right now, put my yoke on and learn from me. And I'm going to show you how to execute this thing my way. I'm going to show you how to do it right. I'm going to show you how to be blessed. I'm going to transform your mind from being a sinful mind to a winning mind, from a sinner to a winner. I'm going to bring you right on through everything you're dealing with. And it doesn't mean you won't have trouble. Look at Abraham's life. If you continue to read, he had all kinds of stuff. He had folks attacking him. He had his nephew went with him, and his life went into debauchery in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had to go try to rescue. He had to pray on his behalf, and God sent angels to rescue him out of there. And back in Genesis, you can read that account. But the fact is, there was a transformation of Abraham's life. He had no seed, and eventually, after 25 years, God blessed him with Isaac, his own son, from his own wife, Sarah. And I'm trying to condense some things here in that Genesis period. But the fact is, I want you to see God has always done this in every generation, and it's something that's still available for me and you today. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart, Proverbs 3 says, and 5, and lean not to your own understanding. You might say, Pastor, that's a lot of load you put on me there, all that. Well, don't worry about it. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He's going to show you how to do it right. That's what we call being transformed from sinners to winners. He's going to bring you out of the family of sinners who ignore God, act like he doesn't exist, act like we have a better way of figuring it out. We have a better philosophy. Oh, we're going to go somewhere in space and find an answer for the problems on earth. You know what? God is already in space. He's beyond space. And he's already got it figured it out, and he wrote the book on it. And so you can trust what he said. See, once you come into that mindset, I don't have to go searching, scouring the heavens and the earth looking for information. Why? Because God has given me all the information I need for time and eternity. And he's going to teach me and how to transform me from being a sinner who doesn't trust him or believe him to being a winner who walks with him by faith, who gave his son to pay my sin bill entirely and raised him out the grave. And let me stop there for a minute and put a pin. The resurrection of Christ is the greatest display of the power and the authority of God, even over death and the grave. Nobody else can boast about that. See, scientists can't get you out the grave. They can move your body out the grave, but they can't make you back to life. They can't restore you to a new heaven and a new earth like God has promised. And the resurrection of Jesus is the proof that God already knows everything about the problem of death and has already applied that solution to the problem, because he allowed his son to receive that penalty of death in his own body on the tree, and he did it for every believer, all those who believe in him. And that's the only thing you need to do is believe him. When you believe him, and I'm going to make this really clear, because I get a lot of comments from people. They say, well, you're teaching people lawlessness. No, I'm not. Because you know what? You can't be saved without the work of Christ. And if you are saved, it's because of the work of Christ. God made Christ the focal point of salvation, and he is the only one who can save you. So no matter what you do good, you can do all the good you want, and I'm not against doing good, neither is God. God wants everyone to do good and do right, but obviously they don't. I mean, we can look around, that's a no-brainer pretty much, isn't it? You know, look at all the people doing whatever they want to do. Look at all the people that hate people and one another and spread hate in the world and spread all kinds of philosophies and ignorance. Look at the confusion and the congestion of man who is separated from God. Then look at the peace of the people who really know God, those who really accept Christ. We get along harmoniously with everybody. If we've been taught right, we realize that there is no big eyes and little U's, that God loves everyone equally. And we start to learn to treat people equally. Jesus came for everybody. And his resurrection from the grave is the proof that he is the only one with the right answer. There's a whole lot of folk going to give you answers, but they're not the right answer. They're not going to get you out that grave. Only one has the answer to the problem of death, which is the penalty for sin. And that is Jesus himself, the Messiah. And whosoever believes in him is the proclamation of Almighty God will not perish. In other words, you don't have to worry about the problem of death, not now and not later. He says, because I have already overcome the world. And so this is what I want you to understand. Proverbs 3, the Jews, those people came out the seed of Abraham. They began to be 12 tribes, eventually three generations down, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then they were multiplied into 12 tribes. So God was sanctifying a people for his own possession. That's what you see when you see God call Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then the 12 tribes, is he's pulling out a people to separate them from the rest of humanity. Why? Because humanity will always go down the tubes. They will always go down the drain. They will always try to find other gods and other ways to understand the things that God had made. They will always deny God his glory. So that's the group of people we call sinners. Folks who deny God, who will not accept the truth of God. See, so God sanctified the people. That's what he's doing to you. If you believe Christ, you've been called out of the normal flow of human life. You've been called into a new way of thinking, under a new master who is Jesus, who is the only one who defeated death in the grave. And he wants to transform you from sinners to winners. He wants you to be on the winning side, because there's going to be a side that loses and ends up burning in a burning hell because they rejected the truth of God. It's not God's will. And you know what? They won't be blaming God. When they go in hell, they're not going to blame God, because they know we rejected him all our life. We refused him. We would not accept his son. And they're going to know I'm getting what I deserve. So I hope that's not you today. I hope you want to move from sinners to winners by a transformation through a relationship with Jesus the Christ. He loves you just like you are, no matter what kind of a mess you've gotten into, no matter what you went through all your life, however you are, he will accept you right now. You know what? But he will begin to transform you. He will teach you. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. He says, take my yoke on you and learn from me. Doesn't say you have to be in a certain way to get in. The requirement to get in is faith in him, believe in him. See, that's why the church is commanded to teach the gospel. That's the good news, that God will accept you regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done. You know what? He loves you too much to leave you the way you are when you come out, just like he did Abram. Called him out, and he blessed him and multiplied him, did everything he promised. Abram didn't deserve it. It was totally by grace. It says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So this is what we're asking you to do today. Get out of that family of sinners who don't know God, deny God, and say something else is God. Get into the family of the real God, who gave his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, and divided the whole world, human history, around him, so you could easily believe him and be saved. And once you do that, God the Holy Spirit will be given to you by faith. See? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, says Hebrews 11, and the evidence of things not seen. He's going to move in and take up residence in you, and there's no way you're going to continue to be the way you were, you know, because he's going to change you. He's going to transform you by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the Bible says. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're talking about here. How you get transformed from sinners to winners. When we are born into the world, we come as descendants of our fallen father, the first Adam, who sinned against God willfully, sending down through every one of his descendants. That means everybody that's born, the inborn nature of sin, which makes everyone unacceptable to a perfectly righteous God. Realize that. You come in the world unacceptable to God because of the inherited sin that's in your mind and in your body, and it's something you can't avoid. Everybody is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. See that? In other words, sinful children are born to sinners who raise them up the best way they can. But God wants to interrupt that whole stream of understanding and your previous life and transform you to a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we must walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how it looks like, well, the world may be progressing and they're getting good over here. And this is all that. God wants good things for you. And you know what? He owns it all. The word says the truth of the earth is enlarged and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. He owns you anyway, but he's allowing people who do wrong to continue to do wrong. But he doesn't want you to do wrong. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he gave his son to pay the bill, because you can't pay it by yourself. There's no way anybody can make themselves right to a holy God. He had to do it. He's been forgiving sinners all the way from the beginning, in the days of Adam on up till now. But he is fixed today when he will judge the world in righteousness, it says in Acts 17, by his son, Jesus Christ, who he has made the focal point of salvation, so that he is the very crux of whether you're saved or lost, whether you're in the family of God, or you continue on in the flesh. But we all need to be transformed from sinners to winners so that we can win in the ultimate victory that God has ordained. So I want you to see this. It was the course of the Jews, since they had been separated by God, to learn from God, and God gave them what we call the Holy Bible. Let's call it from Genesis to Malachi, was the Old Testament. The book of the law and the prophets and the holy writings, or the Torah, as it's called by the Jewish community. And that the reason for that is by being instructed by God, you learn to think things out in a way to give glory and honor to God. And this was done to hold them until the time that the Messiah would come through their seed, from the seed of Abraham on up to the seed of Mary, the virgin to whom was born Jesus the Christ. We could say that's a nutshell of what God was working through the Jews. Not only that, but to give us his word, so that we could have the word of God, which will endure forever. The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. So we want to learn the eternal knowledge of God's word, and it will be instrumental in the process of transforming the way we think from sinners to winners. God's word, and that's very important. The Jews, as a custom, always taught God's word to guide and lead their citizens, all the children, and from their birth on up till they were adult. And the Proverbs was used for that. If you notice, the Proverbs have 31 chapters. There's a chapter there for every day of the week. And I always recommend people start in chapter 1 on day 1. Read on through the 30 days, and you'll be at the end of the Proverbs. And some months have 31, so God threw in the 31st chapter also. And it's a teaching tool to get our minds adjusted from the old way of thinking to God's way of thinking. Let me give you a sample here. So in the Bible, when we learn the true information about many things in this life and some things about the life to come, see, God's teaching us about this life and the life to come, and more importantly, perhaps, just how one can become transformed from a sinner to a winner, we get stuff like this in Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. See that? So we want to keep God's commandments. His commandments are not how we get saved, but they are how we live right. They show you what's good. I've never talked to a person and asked them about the Ten Commandments, for example, and had them say, oh, I don't think that's any good. If I say, do you think it's good for people to lie or to steal? No, most people don't agree that lying and stealing is okay. Most of the time they say, no, I don't. If I lie to you, would you like it? No. If I steal from you, would you like it? No. I can go down the list. If I take your wife or your husband and sleep with them, would you like it? And the answer is no. I've never heard anybody with this thinking right say those things are okay. And the fact is, they are good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. His word is good and perfect. And the fact is, that they teach you, the Proverbs, for example, all of the scripture teaches us how to live righteously and how to live in a way that's acceptable to God and to one another. You know, it's just as important how we relate to one another. In fact, the scripture says it's more. How can you say you love God who you have not seen, and you do not love your brother who you can see? That's sometimes where we fall short right there. We say, oh, I love God, but I don't know about you. Well, it can't work that way. I got to know about you too. Jesus said the whole world will know that you are my disciples because you have loved one to another. See, so he says, I can't love him who I can't see if I don't love you who I can see. So this is the reason why there should be no prejudice and all the kind of stuff we see, systemic racism, they want to call it and label it, people ranting about their rights and all of that. You know what? If everybody was saved, there wouldn't be anything like that going on in the world, because people would understand things from God's perspective, from his vantage point, and it would make the world the way God wants it to be. In eternity, that's the way it'll be. We'll all be on one accord, and there won't be any different kinds of stuff like from the old philosophies of the world. It'll be a whole new paradigm, and all things will be made perfect. So in the Proverbs, it says in chapter 3, in verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and for long life. See that? And peace shall they add to thee. My word is going to add good stuff to your life when you learn it and start to walk in it. And then he goes on to say, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. We all need mercy and we all need truth. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. See, learn to acknowledge why God wants us to be the way he does. Let it be the way you think and the way you feel. Let it be a part of your heart and the way you process life. So that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See that? So that's so crucial. This is why you and I need to learn and dedicate ourselves to be learners realize God has forgiven us, showing us eternal mercy and grace through the sacrifice of his son who pays our bill, makes us right entirely, all by himself, so that he only gets the glory. He only gets the praise, no one else. See, I can't boast before God because I haven't done anything. Jesus did it all. We wrote that song. Somebody wrote that song. So this is to learn to think. The scriptures teach us to think that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Don't try to figure it out and you have it be your way. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. See that? So the fear of the Lord is what drives you and me to depart from evil. And so this is where we want to get. Now, when you trust Christ, and I'm going to have to bring us to some kind of an end here. My time's about up. When you trust in Christ, realize this. God, the Holy Spirit, now will come and dwell in you. Ever since Jesus made the sacrifice to cover you for your sin, he will give his Spirit to you. And the Spirit, the Bible says, will lead you and guide you to all truth. So this is the beautiful thing, that you and I can be led and guided to all truth. And the truth will make you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so that's a very, very important thing. Realize that the truth of God is where the freedom comes from, understanding things from his perspective and not from the perspective of my own, first of all. I could be my worst enemy if I try to think that the way I think is right and everything else is subject to my own thinking. You have to learn to grow out of that and understand that God will teach you. He will lead you and guide you to the way he wants you to think. And that's far better. That's how we get transformed from being sinners to winners. And I want to be in that ultimate victory with Christ because he already declared all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he instructed us to go and teach all the nations. Now, I'm going to close with this. In 1 John chapter 2, it says here, verse 23, and this is New Testament, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. See, so you can't go to God directly without Christ. He is the mediator that God has designed and declared, let me say. He has always been God's son eternally. He is the eternal son of God. So he set it up in his word that Messiah would be the one, the only mediator between the human family and God Almighty himself. That's why Jesus has both natures. He took on the nature of the seed of Abraham, the Bible says. He did not take the nature of angels, the writer to the Hebrews said, but the seed of Abraham. See that? So he became like him in order that he could relate to the human experience, even being born from a womb, even though he had no human father. His father was God Almighty, but he was born. He went through the birth process of being confined in Mary's womb for 9 months and coming forth out of the womb, out of a bag of waters, just like all other human beings. But yet he was Almighty God as well. And so therefore he was a perfect mediator between God and man. He understands the human process all the way and entirely. If this one here, I'm just going to say this, and this is an interesting thing. Jesus had a belly button, just like me and you. Although I don't suspect Adam did, because he was created, he was not born. Now, he may have, God could easily have created that feature on his body, but that's one thing I look to see in eternity. I want to check out Adam and see what he looks like there. But Jesus was born and was attached to a placenta and all the regular things like you and I have been through in order to be human. And so the fact is, he is fully God and fully man. Nobody else like him. He's unique, the only one with two natures, the nature of Almighty God and the nature of man. See that? And he did that so he can relate to your experience, to let you know I love you, been through everything you've been through, except I did not sin, and now I give my life as a ransom back to the Father to correct you and make you whole. And if you believe me, it's granted to you. Simple as that. And we call that message the gospel. How do you know what he did was right? Got out that grave. Declared all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So you don't even have to worry about the problem of death. I'll fix that too. See that? That's beautiful, beloved. So I want to ask you, if you're not saved and you never considered Christ as your Savior, do it today. Do it right now. This will be the best day of your life. You can say, I was born in such and such a time, but I was born again today. on this day. And you can remember that from now on into eternity. And it will be the greatest decision you ever made to trust Christ, invite him into your life, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you God's word, and he will give you everything you need for time and eternity. He will teach you righteousness. See, that's what we learn when we get into the word. We learn the fear of the Lord, in other words, respecting God in every situation I'm dealing with in life, leaving him out of nothing. See, I want him involved in every decision. And when we get there, you know what? It's not going to be an overnight thing. You're not going to instantly do everything right. But the fact is, you know, God has forgiven you. He has covered you by grace through his son, Jesus, who paid your bill entirely. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm going to be teaching you the whole time. And I'm going to guide you and lead you to all truth and give you peace that passeth all understanding. Peace like a river, the Bible says. You know, a river is an amazing thing to me. It's scary to me, too, in a lot of ways. That's just a personal phobia that I have. Some of y'all who know me know about that. But it's amazing that all that water can be there all the time. And God configured it so that you and I have all the water we need just flowing right through our cities. Things of that sort, so that we could have fresh water because we need it. And he made a system to bring that water from the oceans and drop it back on the land so that we can always have fresh water. But he said, peace like a river. In other words, it's unlimited supply of peace and understanding. God wants to give it to you. And he will do it. And if you don't have it, it's not his fault. Because he has displayed Christ before the whole world so that whoever believes in him will not perish. And they can be transformed from sinners to winners. So I know you want to be a winner, so go ahead and ask God to give Christ to you and that you want to give yourself to him. That's the transaction. I believe you with all my heart, and I believe you have given your life for me and that you got out the grave, so I don't even have to worry about death of the most formidable enemy of mankind, and you have defeated him and declared all power is given you. Pray with me. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I have heard the gospel. The good news that you gave your only son, you said, whoever believes in him, that's where it starts, at that primary relationship. I trust you. I believe in you. I know you supply everything that makes me right with the Father, and that you will add whatever I need by my relationship with Christ. You will teach me. You will fill me with your Holy Spirit to convict me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You will open up your word to me. You promised that you would do that. You told me to take up your yoke on me and learn from you. And you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So Father, help me today to be a better man and help someone be a better woman than we have ever been. Lord, get us on that track and leading toward your eternal kingdom. Transform us from sinners to winners. We want to win with you when the great victory is given to you in the whole scheme of this world and this life. And so, Father, we ask this by the name of Jesus, by the power of his resurrection, that you save us and let us be sure, Lord God, that we are yours, that we're bought out of that family and that kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. And we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it together, amen. We hope you have just been born again of God's Spirit. And we know that he will teach you and lead you and guide you just as he promised. Amen. So we hope you have a blessed rest of your day, this Lord's Day, and that you have learned some things from this lesson today. We plan to be back with some more things this week. There are a lot of exciting things going on in our ministry. Don't have time to tell you about it right now, but keep an eye out, and we'll keep you informed online so you can know what's going on. God's doing some miraculous, wonderful things. Amen. And we just know it's him because all of this is happening in the middle of a pandemic, and God is doing it, and he's getting praise and glory to his own name. Amen. So we want to invite you to pray for us, and we'll be praying for you, and we thank you for coming and tuning in at this time. May God richly bless you throughout the rest of the day. Amen.